post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name's Eamon Flanagan. With me in the studio, talking football across the Australian Community Network. Not Fitzer or Michelle this week, but none other than our very own Russ Gibbs. How are you, Russ?
Good, thanks very much. Substituting for Fitzham and Michaela.
That's right, and what a great substitute you are, if I may say so, Russ.
A super sub,
and that's
say.
The last bit of praise and that you're going to get on this show. Now, coming up in the first half hour, we're going to talk Socceroos with Russ Gibbs. No, we're not. We're going to talk A-League with Russ Gibbs. We're going to talk W-League with Russ Gibbs. And we're going to listen to Tom Samani talking about who's going to win the W-League and who he's been inspired by this season. And we're also going to talk about the salary cap and Adelaide United's journey to the World Club Championship. So that's football, heaps of it, as always, in Australia, and we're delighted to be on the Australian Community Radio Network. Now, we've got heaps of big issues, dedications and more. You can email us, nearpost2xx@gmail.com. Catch us on the podcast, should you miss this show ever, on www.nearpost.blogspot.com. And, of course, we're streamed across the web, wherever you are, on your little computer, www.2xfm.org.au. Now we're going to dedicate the show as always. This week's dedication, sometimes they're not so serious, but this week we're dedication to Martin Crook. Martin Crook, under 17 coach of the Joeys, died on tour in America with the young lads. They were on a 3-game tour in the US, and Martin, I think, was mid-50s, got 3 children, and just apparently died of a heart attack overnight. So when the team came down for breakfast, they have a set time for breakfast, he didn't turn up, which was unusual, and when they checked his room, apparently he died. So a sad note, and a sad note for his family. He's got 3 kids, so a difficult one, but Martin Crook dedicated his life, I guess, to the game, and we just dedicate this show to Martin. Okay, a quiz question for Russ Gibbs, our expert of experts. Name all the Australian and New Zealand stadiums used in the A-League.
There's a minute to go at Mackellar Stadium. Canberra United lead Sydney FC 1-0. Coach Robbie Hooker urges his player forward. Lydia Williams throws the ball to captain Ellie Brush. Hasn't she been good today? Brush plays a delightful ball to Chapman. The Matilda Stud drives to the line, across to the near post.
And when you get to the near post, you'll find Russ Gibbs calling the game. I don't know what happened to the promo, but yeah, had a shocker. Okay, Russ, I hope your calls aren't as bad as that on the weekend. But you can listen to Russ Gibbs calling all the Canberra United games, the home games, that is, and of course they're streamed across the web. Now then, Russ, that cut into a little bit of your preparation time. Name all the Australian stadiums, or all the A-League stadiums used in across Australia and New Zealand in the A-League. Off you go.
Suncorp Stadium.
Fantastic.
Thanks very much.
Do you know the team?
Queens and Royal.
Oh, even better. You're a legend.
Melbourne Victory, Telstra Dome, whatever
Telstra
they call it these
Dome,
days.
It's called, yes, changed its name. I'm not going to give you that on it. It's changed its name.
I don't know what they call it anymore.
Actually, no, it's still I think it's still called Telstra Dome until the end of the season.
Yeah, okay, gone. Sydney FC, the SFS.
Yep, that's 3.
Newcastle Jets, Energy Australia Stadium.
4.
Central Coast Mariners, I can't remember. Adelaide United's Hindmarsh Stadium.
Yep.
Members Equity Stadium, Perth Glory.
Yep.
Wellington Phoenix, I don't know what they call the Kiwi ground off the top of my head.
Oh, no, what do they call it? Do they call it the Beehive?
I'm not entirely sure, to be perfectly honest.
We don't know.
And the Central Coast Mariners is the only other one.
It's called the Westpac Stadium.
Oh, Westpac Stadium Wellington, of course it is.
Of course
yeah.
It is.
Home of the Hurricanes.
That's
fact.
Right.
Yeah, and the Central Coast Mariners, I do know it, can't remember off the top of my head. No idea. Oh, Blue Tongue Stadium. Yeah. Yes, of course. Yeah.
So, okay, well done, Russ. Not bad at all. I think you're the first person ever to get 8 out of 8 on the old quiz. So
we'll go 7. We'll take the Wellington one. That's,
yeah, I mean, Fitzham and Michelle normally play it out between themselves, but it's normally pretty close. But I think you've set a...
Fitzham would have got Central Coast Mariners straight away.
He would,
of course.
That's true, yeah. So he would have been ahead of you. But anyway, there you go. Okay, let's talk A-League. The results this weekend, Adelaide United sucks, Wellington Phoenix 1. Central Coast Mariners 1, Queensland Royal 1, Perth Glory, fantastic 3, Melbourne Victory 1, and Newcastle Jets 1, Sydney FC 2. Adelaide Wellington 6-1, what's that all about?
Well, it's a bit of a surprise. Bubble burst a bit there for Wellington, didn't it? I mean, They didn't travel particularly well. They were a bit unfortunate to go behind early. But, you know, when Adelaide are playing that well, you can only sit back and admire it. And I think from Wellington's point of view, they're just going to take that in their stride. And
I think you're right.
To bounce back this weekend.
I thought Ricky Herbert said, you know, we were, I think, 1-0 down or whatever, and when did they score? They got the goal back. It was 2-0, I think, and they got a goal back. And he said, we were kind of pushing for the, you know, to get back in the game, and Adelaide scored two quick goals. And he said, well, really, that killed us. But, I mean, I think the good thing about Wellington to me was they kind of kept trying to play this time, whereas when they played before against Adelaide at Hindmarsh, they kind of never got out of starting. But it was good. And Adelaide, I mean, it kind of means that, OK, you get thrashed 6-1, well, so what?
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
Having said that, wasn't it beautiful? I mean, some of the goals, though, I mean, they were great goals, but I don't know where the marking was. Cassero just seemed to waltz forward on the left and there was no one there. And he's not the fastest in the world.
I didn't half hit those two balls well. They didn't, those left-foot strikes across the keeper.
He did. He did hit them really well. But then if there's nobody standing in front of you, in front of the goal, then you've got a fair chance, haven't you?
Yeah, I felt a bit sorry for the Wellington goalkeeper. It was a bit of a shooting gallery at one stage.
No, we like shooting galleries. We like that. Goals are good, Russ.
he was just a bit of a, in the firing line from the Adelaide forwards. And, you know, Adelaide, I mean, they've played well this season. They've threatened to do that on a number of occasions, and Wellington were on the wrong end.
The top of the league, and I mean, they're looking like, really, you know, once they get out over their World Club Championship, they could come back quite strongly again. They can afford to drop a few points, but they really are looking like title favourites, I think.
They have. I mean, they've got a big schedule coming up in December, January with the Club World Championship, and obviously trying to fit games in. So, you know, it's going to be a test of the strength of the depth of their squad, but I think they've got the players to cope with it.
It's not all doom and gloom, though. Not for Wellington, because, you know, even though they've got Fred and got thrashed 6-1, but as you mentioned before the show, off air, if Wellington win on the weekend, certainly for 24 hours, they'll be in third place. Has there ever been a New Zealand team in any football code in the world ever been in third place?
Or maybe in their own championship they've got a team that's third.
No, I don't think even in their own championship. I don't think so. I don't think they have a first and second place. Because I can't believe they ever win anything at the football. But anyway, so if they win, they go into third place. Now they could. They're playing Perth at home.
Yeah, I mean, Perth, I mean, they'll fancy their chances. They've played quite well. I mean, yeah, aberration aside on the weekend, they've got some players. You know, I mean, Fred's a quality player. Shane Smeltz. I'm always big on Shane Smeltz.
You love him, don't you?
I think he's one of the best centre-forwards.
Have you got his picture on your wall?
I haven't, but if anyone wants to send me a picture of Shane Smeltz, now, Perth, we'll put it on the studio wall.
Perth are playing Wellington this weekend. It's you know, they always say it's a six-pointer, but it's not. It's only three. But Perth, 3 points behind Wellington. They won 3-1 against Melbourne Victory. Fantastic. Great to see Perth. Even at 2-0, you knew they were going to lose it, because they normally do, but they didn't. They hung on.
They did. I mean, and it's great to see, isn't it, really, that teams that are at the wrong end of the table can compete with the teams at the top end of the table. And on any given day, anybody can beat anybody. And it's got to be healthy for the competition.
It is. Unfortunately, Amaral is out for the season. I love watching him play, the little Brazilian. But but they didn't need him on the weekend. Adriano Pellegrino scored an absolute pearler of a goal.
It was a cracker, wasn't it?
Yeah. I didn't know he could...
And Eugene... Daddy popped up.
Who's
with a couple.
Your daddy? Yeah, he did. To see him score a couple, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was talk before the game that he might get left out before the match. I was reading in a couple
Rukovic
of previews.
Nikita Rukovic was,
and possibly partnering up front with Harmwell. But you know, I mean, Daddy's in there now, and he scored a couple of goals, and he scored 7 for the season, I believe now. And you know, considering he's been injured a couple of times for quite some time, that's a good return.
They're good. Perth need to win. They need the confidence. But I mean, Ernie Merrick said the reason Melbourne lost was. They played Wellington the week before, and then they had to fly to Perth, and they were tired.
I mean, there's been a week between the game. They're professional footballers. I mean, I think that's Ernie just...
Hopefully
that was a bit tongue-in-cheek.
Now, he left Carlos Hernandez on the bench, and apparently he made a comment that Carlos can't last more than 45 minutes. Again, professional footballer, how long has he been playing? And he can only play 45 minutes, 14 games into the season. What's that all about?
That's a bit bizarre, isn't it? I mean, you've got to question what they're doing at their training facilities. I mean, by no means do we know what they're doing at their training, but... If he can only last 45 minutes, surely the lad should be running around a bit more and doing a bit more fitness work during the week.
And if he can't, I mean, what's he been doing for the... What training schedule has he given him for the first half of the season? So that's a bit of concern. Melbourne Victory, to me, they can win the title, obviously. They just got to get the balance right. But interestingly, Central Coast got rid of Tom Pondiac, and now he seems to be getting a game every week for Melbourne. Now, I like Tommy. Tommy's you know, but... He can't last a game either, I don't think. He's one of these guys that drifts in and out. And I think, you know, I don't think he's producing enough for Melbourne. But they keep persevering with him.
Well, he didn't obviously fit the system that they wanted to play at Central Coast. I mean, some players don't. Some players...
Well, you've got to be able to run.
Yeah, Central Coast, we talked about this before. In the Central Coast, they're based a lot. They play with a lot of width, a lot of pace. I think in a team like the Victory, they need someone in there. Grant Brebner did it for them when they won the championship.
Particularly away games, I think. You know, someone like Pondiac. you can't really see him working that hard. And, you know, anyway, they got beat 3-1 by Perth. Good for Perth. Newcastle Jets versus, Central Coast Mariners. Central Coast Mariners 1, Queensland Roar 1. Andre Grumprecht, 2 fantastic goals in this game. Sergio van Dijk hit a screamer of a free kick, roared into the bottom corner. And then Central Coast Mariners, Andre Grumprecht, who wants a contract next year, but, you know, we know he's probably not deserving of one. But he did come on, played this game, and he scored an absolute belter, 1 each.
Yeah, he's done it before. He scored, I seem to remember him scoring one in a pre-season friendly down here in Canberra, where we're based for the Mariners in a pre-season cup game at Sydney. It was an absolute pearler off a corner on the volley. So he's got that ability. I mean, I think a draw was probably a fair result.
The Mariners are doing well this season, people would say, but they're actually in fifth place. And I think when I think about the Mariners, I think, well, they are. They're going well. They've got 3 strikers. That, you know, they always seem to be having close games, but they actually haven't got much reward for it. I know there's not many points between the top and the bottom, but take a team like Sydney, who are doing absolutely atrociously, according to everybody. They're actually in third place. The Central Coast Mariners, who are doing really well with their 3 strikers, their 3-prong attack, are in fifth. So, come on, explain that one to me.
Well, if the Central Coast is just simple enough, they just need to stop conceding goals. I mean, they've come back from 3-0 down on 2 occasions. I mean, they came back from 1-0 down again on the weekend. They can score goals. They just need to tighten up defensively. And if they do, I think they're an outside bet for the title.
Interesting, though, that they're playing 3 strikers and Adrian Caceres. So really, that's 4 really attacking players. Is that the reason they are conceding goals? Because in the past, obviously, they've played a lot. You know, they only played perhaps Aloisi and Petroski up front, which was only 2 strikers, obviously. And they had no real players like, a Caceres who could run forward and didn't defend. So now they've got 4 players in that final third, and I wonder whether that's left them more exposed than in previous years.
I think it probably has. I mean, it's probably weakened their midfield a little bit, but, I mean, they're great to watch. I mean, I think they're probably everybody's second favourite team because they do score a bag full of goals, and they always get good games when Central Coast are playing.
Craig Foster bagged them last season for playing boring football. Do you reckon Laurie McKenna has kind of given in a little bit and actually changed his tactics because of that?
I'm not sure that Laurie would take an awful lot of what Craig Foster said on board.
No, but it is interesting that he's changed his tactics considerably from...
I'm a big fan of the fact that you've got to play a system to suit the players you've got. If you've got a group of attacking players, you need to play a system to suit those attacking players. If you've got a group of defensive players, then of course you're not going to be able to create that, or haven't got as many creative players. You're not going to create as many chances. So rather than picking a system and then fitting players to suit the system, I think you've got to pick a system to suit the players, and I think that's what Laurie McKenna's done. He's got a lot of attacking talent, so he's saying why not pick a system to suit that.
Newcastle Jets got beat 1 to Sydney FC 2. Brendan Gann, young player, scored. Newcastle Jets bottom of the table, their season champions last season, chumps this season, but they're still off to Asia, so good luck to them. Sydney FC got a win.
Big win for Sydney FC, an important one for them as well. They needed it to get back into the top 4, even though it's a bit of a logjam up there at the moment.
John Cosmina looking a little bit twitchy, but be relieved with that win, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's bubbling under at the moment. He's ready to burst, his old John.
And big
John
Frank Lowy's sold out to a Russian. A Russian, they call him. And the name of the Russian...
It's not Roman Abramovich, is it?
No, I don't think it's Roman. It's the other guy whose name I've completely forgotten.
I don't know his name.
You don't know his name?
No.
Okay, we don't know the name of the guy, but anyway, Frank's sold out, so I guess that's it's good news probably for the league to see that they've got other people interested in taking over, prepared to lose a lot of money as well. Yeah. Now, what this week we've got coming up, we've got Wellington-Perth. What's your prediction?
I'm going to go for a Wellington home win.
Wellington home win.
And to third place in the league.
Oh, I think it's going to be a tight game. I think Perth might sneak that one. Central Coast Sydney, local derby.
And there's always bags of goals, 3-3.
3-3, yeah, I think I'm going to go for a Sydney win, actually. And Queensland, Newcastle.
Well, it's the Suncorp, so anything could happen.
That's right, Newcastle will win.
Yeah, I'm going to say that Queensland are going to build on their last home win and win 2-1.
Okay, I think Joel Griffiths normally scores at Queensland.
Yeah, it'd be a penalty if he does score. No,
normally in the last minute. And the Melbourne-Adelaide game is held over till January the 6th because of the World Club Championship, so we won't bother predicting that one just yet. Okay, we're going to concentrate on the W League now. We talked to Matilda's coach, Tom Simoni, and I asked him a few questions to see what he knows about football and also who he thought was going to win the league, because, I mean, if anybody should know, it should be Tommy, and Tommy told me.
Watching a couple of games this weekend, yeah. How were they?
Yeah, they were good. Plenty of goals. I did the round trip Adelaide on Saturday and then over to Perth for the Sunday game, and 11 goals in, oh, actually 8 and 6, 14 goals in 2 games.
unfortunately, Tommy seems to have come. He's not normally lost for words, actually.
On this occasion,
he is, but we'll be back with Tommy in a minute. Just go through the scores on the weekend for the women's game.
Yeah, Adelaide United 0, Central Coast Mariners 6, which was a bit of a surprise that it was that many. Melbourne Victory 1, Newcastle Jets 0. Perth Glory 3, Queensland Rule 5, and Canberra United 1, Sydney FC 1. So some interesting results there. And as Tommy said before, he was lost for words there. There was bags of goals and plenty of action.
Certainly was. You were at the Canberra United Sydney game. Good game?
Yeah, it was a good match. It was an entertaining game. Chances for both teams to win it. A 1-1 draw was probably a fair result at the end of the day.
Okay, Tommy will kill me if he thinks that he was recorded and not given his airtime. So here is Tom Samani. Hopefully, Tommy, this time you can go the distance. He's still talking about the W League.
Coach Tom Samani. Tom, you've been over in the West watching a couple of games this weekend. How were they?
Yeah, they were good. Plenty of goals. I did the round trip to Adelaide on Saturday and then over to Perth for the Sunday game. And 11 goals in... Oh, actually, 8 and 6, 14 goals in two games. So... It was certainly entertaining.
No complaints there. You picked the best games, I guess. So firstly, start with Queensland, I guess. Top of the league, 5-3 away from home. How are they going?
I think, you know, when we went into the competition, they were obviously the favourites because for two reasons, mainly the quality of the squad and the number of national team players. And because of that, the number of players that have played together for a long time. So whether that's been in the programme or in national team camps, you know, and it's obvious when you watch them play how comfortable they are with each other and how kind of in tune they are with each other. Whereas a lot of the other teams, you know, were putting a team together really 4 or 5 weeks before the season started.
You're Courtney Butel, I know she's caught your eye, I guess, with the number of goals she scored. She hasn't been in the Matilda squad yet. You watched her on the weekend. How did she go?
Yeah, I watched her against Sydney a couple of weeks ago. And she impressed me. And that's the first time I'd seen her play because she's actually a girl that I really don't know anything about, which is, I suppose, a great thing about this competition. And I was very impressed with her against Sydney. And again, she had a strong game against Perth during the week, against Perth yesterday, but probably not as good as against Sydney. But she's, you know, she's mobile, she's dangerous. She looked fairly composed when she's finishing. So she's somebody that I'll obviously want to have a closer look at.
Tom, with the standard of the league, how have you seen the first seven rounds?
I've been pleasantly surprised. You know, I think the standard's been high. I think you can tell there is a difference in quality between, you know, the better players and the lesser experienced players or ones who are just coming in to play at this level, and that's to be expected, because we've got to remember, realistically, we haven't had a proper National League probably for, you know, five or six years. So in that time, players who haven't been involved in the national team squad, you know, haven't really had a high standard of competition. So beginning to notice a little bit of the difference between, you know, the experienced players and some of the inexperienced players. But generally, I've been pleased with the tempo of the games. I've been pleased with the overall sort of quality of the games, and I've been happy that, you know, all teams have picked up points and to some degree been competitive.
If there was a couple of players that stand out at this stage, Tom, who haven't been in the Matildas, who's caught your eye?
That's a difficult question. I think quite a lot of them have been sort of in and around the Matildas. Young Sam Kerr from Perth, who's been in a young Matilda squad in under 17, I think is one who has sort of stood out and caught my eye and really sort of been very pleasing to see how she's sort of come on in the last year. Again, the girl Courtney Butel, I think, has done well for Queensland. I think Grace Gill from Canberra is another one who, although Grace has been in the young Matilda, hasn't really been around the senior squad, and I've been very impressed with how she's played.
And I'm going to put you, you know, you're the national coach, Tom.
Yeah.
Who's going to win the whole comp?
I think you have to put your money on Queensland. They've lost, they've lost Kim Carroll with and Jenna Tristram with knee ACL tears, which has been a bit of a tragedy. But I think they're the stronger team.
And
I think if Canberra get into the final, and I've got a fully fit and healthy squad, I think they actually might give it a shake. They've got to get into the final four first, though.
Yeah, they sure have.
And that was Tom Simoni, the Matildas coach. Canberra United, if they get into the final four, we're obviously slightly biased because we're down in Canberra. What do you think, Russ?
Yeah, I agree with what Tom had to say there, because having seen four or five of these teams play now and having watched them on the TV as well, and having seen Canberra, defensively, Canberra United are particularly solid, and it's very hard to score a goal against Canberra United. And going forward, they're not firing on all cylinders at the moment, but if they do get some attacking chances created, they have got the ability to take them. But if you've got a good defence, defences win championships, and Canberra have got one of the best defences in the league. So
okay, well, this weekend, full round of fixtures once again. It's round eight. We're getting down to, there's only 10 games in the league. We've got three games coming up. Who's up this weekend?
Melbourne Victory at home to the Queensland Raw.
I'm going to go for a draw.
A draw? Going to take Raw. I can't see the Raw losing that one. Central Coast Mariners against Canberra United.
Central Coast Mariners versus Canberra United. I'm going to go for a win for Canberra. That's what my heart says.
Yeah, well, we're both hoping that Canberra get a result there, but Central Coast are certainly finding the goals at the moment. Newcastle Jets against Adelaide United.
Newcastle Jets to thump Adelaide about 5-0.
About 5-0. I don't think you're going to be too far off the mark with that one. And Sydney FC at home to Perth Glory.
Sydney FC home to Perth Glory. Well, I don't know. Perth Glory's scoring plenty of goals, but I suppose Sydney will get over the line. What do you think?
I think Sydney will probably win that one, although I think Perth will give them a bit of a shake-up.
Okay, we're going to talk salary cap and then World Club Championships, I think.
Soccer is in Asia, will they make it to the cup? The near post will wish them luck. The near post will wish them luck.
The Socceroos are in Asia, but they're not there at the moment. They're going to be playing Indonesia in January. Then it's on to Japan to meet me on my journey to Japan. Now, we did have some news. Harry's back in Sydney. Harry Kuehl, he's got a bad hernia, so he's back. Also, Hans Berger, the new technical director, he's Dutch, of course. Lots of people like Mike Cockerell very upset about this. And Mike Cockerell also writing again that, you know, in a 600-word article that writing about the Central Coast Mariners and how well they're doing to bring in investors from Sheffield United, threw in the beautiful line that it looks like China, some Chinese investors are going to invest in the South Coast. Didn't explore beyond that. We know it's not going to happen, but Mike, who is he paid for by? And just, yeah, the only bid he ever writes about is Wollongong. So good luck to Wollongong. We love you, Wollongong. But Mike, come on, mate. Fair crack of the whip. Now, the salary cap's going up from 1.9 million to 2.35 million. It sounds bigger than it is. What's actually happening is at the moment we've got 1.9 million and there's about 500,000 in additional expenses, payments where you can give players money in various other forms. So what the clubs have said is we don't want to do that because it's hard to police, it's hard to monitor, and we'd rather have it in cash. So, they've lifted it to 2.35 million. What do you think, Russ?
I think it's a good move. I think it's going to hopefully encourage more players to stay in Australia and play their football here. Obviously, a greater wage cap. I mean, the players can demand a greater wage now. We've seen what they can do. It's been four seasons now. We can see what sort of quality they've got to offer. Maybe some of these players were being underpaid in the first place. And this bit of extra cash might be able to keep them at clubs. Sydney FC could certainly do with keeping some of their players.
Yeah, and certainly it's probably better to have cash than all the other shenanigans. And there's probably still going to be shenanigans going on anyway. You know, if you get the cash, then you can always negotiate. I don't know, whatever they negotiate, a house or a pub or a club or a car or whatever they do. But, you know, that sort of stuff must go on. It's just not, it's what you get away with, isn't it?
That's it. I mean, I'm presuming, they'll be on hefty bonuses. Should they get to finals? Should they win finals? Should they win the championship? Should they get far in the Asian Cup? I mean, it's part and parcel of football. I'm sure everybody elsewhere in the world is on these sort of bonuses as well as they are in the EPL.
Still a long way to go, you know, about 20 million behind the Japanese league, but still 2.35 million, not to be scoffed at.
Well, it's not. I mean, then at the end of the day, they've got players that actually want to play for the club because they're not just there for the money, which maybe is helping in terms of Adelaide United, for example, getting to the Asian Championship.
Certainly is, and that leads us nicely into Adelaide United. They're off to play in the World Club Championship. Not only are they possibly going to play Manchester United, your team, Ross, they're going to play Gambara Osaka again, assuming, of course, to get past a little team from New Zealand called Waitakere. And how did they go in their warm-up?
They, rather unfortunately for them, they got beat 7-0 by Wellington Phoenix, and then Adelaide went and beat Wellington 6-1.
So we know the score. It's going to be Adelaide 13, Waitakere 1. We just know.
13-1.
I would like to see the Wellington team thrashed, personally, I want to see, or Waitakere, the New Zealand team, thrash. I want to see Adelaide thump them about 10-0. I think it'd be fantastic for Australian-New Zealand relations. Like, let's put them in their place. Let's show them. I'm sick of the All Blacks beating us at rugby. I'm sick of the Rugby World Cup. We got flogged by New Zealand. And we were supposed to win that World Cup. It was, they even got rid of our coach because of, you know, that fellow, Ricky Stewart. He got so upset that we lost. And now we don't have a coach. All because of New Zealand. The All Blacks always beat us. It doesn't matter where they play us, whether it's in England or whether it's in Japan, whether it's Wellington, they always beat us. So it's about time.
It's payback.
It's payback. It's about time we showed this team from New Zealand who's champs. And I can't think of anybody better than Adelaide United. Now, when we thrash them 10-0, that's great. Get them out of the way.
Yep.
Canberra Osaka.
It's going to be hard. I mean, and especially in Japan as well.
Well, you say that. But we beat, I don't understand it, because we beat Kashima Antlers, who are the Japanese champions and look like they're going to be there or thereabouts again. Canberra, like seventh in the table, absolutely flogged Adelaide, and yet Adelaide beat Kashima.
Yeah, psychologically, I think the two legs in the Asian Champions League final obviously are going to have a bearing on the outcome of this game. I think Canberra won't be worried about Adelaide, but conversely, Adelaide now know all about Canberra. They know what they've got, they know what they can offer.
Yeah, and I don't think I'd be too happy if I thought, because, I mean, the Gamba looked a great side. But, again, Kashima didn't, and Adelaide beat them. So I think it could be either a one-off game. Fantastic. And a great prize to play that useless team, Manchester United. And I'd love to see Adelaide flog them as well, but that ain't going to happen.
You're dreaming now, aren't you?
Well, you've got a dream, mate. But it would be nice to see them play United.
It would be fantastic.
And
I mean,
it would be like Adelaide have brought so much to the game this year in terms of publicity, and wouldn't it be fantastic if they beat Gamba and got to play Man United just for the story?
Yeah, it would be fantastic. I mean, South Melbourne, when they got to the World Club Championship back when it first started in 2000, they got to play Manchester United, and they acquitted themselves pretty well.
United are even there. They're always there.
Well, you know, I mean, champions of Europe, aren't they?
Champions of Europe? Yeah. Penalty flew over the bar, and that makes you champions, does it?
Well, John Terry can't stand up. That's not his fault.
No, that's true. I want to see Travis Dodd going past, I don't know, Patrick Evra. Ronaldo getting tackled by Robin Cornthwaite. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
It would be fantastic to see. I'd look forward to that.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. Okay, Manchester United fan Russ Gibbs, thanks very much. Stay with us, Canberra listeners. We've got Grace Gill hopefully on the line, Canberra United star player, and we're going to talk more Canberra football, Canberra A-League, just all sorts of Canberra. So if you're going to the Near Post,
get there first.
Near Post, get there first. The Near Post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there first.
And welcome back to the Near Post. My name's Eamon Flanagan still, and with me in the studio still is Russ Gibbs, and we're here to talk about Canberra football, Canberra United, Canberra A-League, Canberra FC, you name it, we'll talk about it. Russ, what's happening? You got some news?
Yeah, I do. Queanbeyan City and the ACT Premier League has on appeal been reinstated. For the 2009 season, the Capital Football have reviewed their appeal, and due to the pathway structure of the club from Premier League under 16 up to first grade and the development being undertaken down at the Riverside Stadium there, they've reversed their initial expulsion and Queanbeyan City are back in the competition.
I mean, I don't really know any of the details about what went on, but I certainly think it's fantastic because, you know, Queanbeyan, a massive football area, they need to have a team in the Premier League, and so it looks like them. An old student of mine, Goran Josifowski, is a secretary out there, a player out there. I used to teach him when he was about 14, and he was a great player back then. But unfortunately, he was very small, so when he was in one of my teams, and I put him on the bench, and he's never let me forget it. We lost that game. But so anyway, he's doing a great job. He's back in the team and back in the Premier League, so fantastic. Let's hope they get to stay this time.
Yeah, it's good news for Queanbeyan City and for football in Canberra as a whole. Louisa Marzotto of Western Creek in the ACT Women's Premier League, she played her second match for Perth Glory in the W League on the weekend.
Now, you've got a cracking story about this, because she played for Perth in Sunday at, I guess, 4 o'clock in the West. I don't know what time, 4 o'clock in the West, probably 6 o'clock local time. But so that was Sunday, and given it takes like 3,000 hours to get to Perth, you saw her on Saturday night at 10 o'clock, you reckon?
Yeah, it was around about 10 o'clock, yeah.
10 o'clock where?
Chatting to the Canberra United girls after their game at against Sydney FC.
So there she is, out on the town, 10 o'clock on a Saturday night.
I'm not suggesting she was out on the town, she just popped in to see the girls.
Just popped in to see the girls, 10 o'clock. And then how did she get to Perth?
I assume she just flew over there from on a late night or an early morning flight and got off the plane. Don the gloves, did well. They went down 5-3,
did
but
well.
You know, she's a good keeper.
She let five goals in.
I mean, she's not helped by a defence.
Well, I would say she's not helped by the flight.
Maybe not.
She's probably exhausted, you know. I mean, Ernie Merrick's complaining that they only had a week to get from Wellington to Perth, and Louisa from the tradies to the next day, she hasn't even got 10 hours to get from the tradies to Perth.
Good job she's no Carlos Hernandez then, isn't it, really?
It certainly is.
But congratulations to Louisa, though, in all seriousness, for getting selected to go and play for Perth and for them to do that. And let's hope that she can keep building on a career from there.
And there's no truth in the rumour that Louisa has just booked her flight to Europe, a frequent flyer flight.
Could well be. Maybe she's saving up for a trip abroad to play for Celtic or something.
Yeah, well, good luck to her. Okay, thank you very much, Rosa Gibbs. Now, Canberra A-League bus trip is on to Sydney versus Perth. www.ateamforcanberra.com.au. Sign up and show your support for Canberra A-League team. Ned Zelic will be meeting the Canberra supporters, and also Ivan Slavic will be with the supporters on the bus. Ned will meet you in Sydney. So plenty of room, and if you can't get on the bus but will be in Sydney or would like to drive up there, contact Anthony Hatton at www.ateamforcanberra.com, and he will provide you with a cheap ticket for the ground. So go for it. And we're bound to have plenty of media coverage because Perth won't have any fans, or if they were, you know, so whatever person's there in green, and it'll be great to see a number of supporters. Now, Chris Bush and Steve Dominici on tour in the USA. As mentioned earlier, sadly, the coach Martin Crook died, the Australian under 17 coach. The boys, the FFA cancelled the first game, but they went on to play. Chris Bush, I think, played the whole game against the USA second team, which we drew 3-3. And Steve Dominici came on in the third game, or the second game of the tour, but the third game was originally planned. And Chris Bush and Steve Dominici played part in that game against Brazil, which unfortunately we went down 4-1. Now, Canberra FC had their 50th on the weekend. We'll talk about that. One of the premier clubs in Canberra. Steve Lustiger, I suppose, associated with Canberra FC through his father, Bernie, is training with Sydney FC youth side. So that's good to see. And also, himself and a couple of other young Canberrans are in the Australian under, or have been training with the Australian under 18 side, which is due to play in the Youth Olympics in Sydney in January. So it's interesting that those three guys, until recently, weren't in any youth team. And yet are considered good enough, not necessarily to play for the Australian under 18 side, but certainly to be in the train-on squad. So that tells something about the strength of Australian or Canberra football and why we need to have a youth team and an A-League team.
Well, it's an untapped market, I think, down here. I've mentioned it before in this section, especially in the ACT Men's Premier League and in the juniors. There's a lot of quality players that could make the step up. They just need the scouts to come and have a look. And if there's any scouts out there listening, come on down and check out the talent we've got in Canberra.
And I believe there's a couple of A-League youth sides travelling down to play teams in Canberra in the next few weeks, so keep your ears open for that. We'll have more on that as announcements come to air. Now, we're going to talk. You got any more news, Russell?
I just wanted to make a mention. I mean, it's not really Canberra-based, but the Homeless World Cup took place in Melbourne on last week and was a massive success. And the crowd favourites Afghanistan defeated Russia in the men's final, while Zambia took out the women's crown. That was shown live on SBS on the weekend, and that's a great football story that these homeless guys have been able to come on and win the World Cup. And the street soccerers were 22nd out of 56.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed that there's no Canberrans in the squad. Does that mean that there's no homeless in Canberra? I mean, I think, what is John Stanhope doing? We can't get players in that squad. We need to put the rents up in houses, put house prices up, kick people out on the streets, because if there's no Canberran representing the national team, what does that say about us?
Oh, well, I suppose it says that the housing conditions in Canberra are pretty good. But, you know, in all seriousness, it's a great competition, it's a great concept, and it gives these guys a chance to get their lives back on track, and I think it should be applauded.
I was being serious, but there you go, Russ. Okay. All right, yeah, no, fair enough. It's a great idea, and it's a great way, once again, that football can reach out to the communities beyond just, the big money clubs, but it's really a way of getting people back on track. So, yeah, it's great to see. Okay, what else have you got, Russ?
Canberra United news. I've got some news on the injuries and updates on the
Okay, before we go there, we'll get into Canberra United in a minute because we're going to talk to Grace Gill as well. We'll just talk about the supporters pledge. The Canberra Times launched the supporters pledge. 20,000 supporters across Canberra and the region sign up to show support for an A-League team. Now, Canberra Times did a massive spread on the weekend, fantastic, and they're going to be continuing that over the next few weeks, which is great to see. And Russ Gibbs, I have to say, absolutely top effort. So we've had people going out there. We've already got 2,500, I think, signed up. Most of them have come from you, Russ. Tell us how you did it.
The gentleman sitting across the desk from me purloined me with a stack of sheets and said, go out and get people to sign these and don't come back in, on my radio show until you've got them all filled up.
Well, you did. You only took a week. And even, I mean, I know you had a weekend free because you were talking to me on the weekend and you said you'd already done it. So you got 750, I think.
Yeah, 754 and counting at the moment, mostly from the good people down at the Tuggeranong Soccer Sixes in the men's competition on the Thursday and the juniors competition on the Friday. And it was sensational to see that every single person that I approached, pretty much without fail, was quite happy to sign the petition and sign up their kids and their families. And some people even asked if they could sign up their pets. That's how dedicated these people are to getting a football team in Canberra.
Maybe we should have a pets corner at the game, I don't know. But I just want to mention a few volunteers who, I mean, it is all volunteers running the A-League bid. They've appointed me and they're paying me, but apart from me, there's no one else. So the volunteers are absolutely vital. But I'd just like to say the spirit that has come forward, Wilhelmina Kemperman, Christine Ng, George Lemon, Aaron Walker, Tim Skinner, Ben Sacker-Kelly, Russ Gibbs, Jason Thornton, Jessica Salvage, Danny Marlowe. There's a whole heap of volunteers. I apologise if I missed anybody. People are just taking their own initiative. Fitzham, Hapta Marion, just taking their own initiative to say, hey, I'll go and get some people out there. And, whether it's 50 people or 750, it's fantastic. And Mick Klim, I should mention Mick Klim down in Cooma, he's putting the survey on his, or the supporters pledge sheet, on his service station, and basically said anybody who comes into the service station over the next few weeks, he's going to get them to sign up. You can sign up yourself, and you can sign up anybody who would go to the game within your family, so sign up the children as well. So it's a great way to do it. Get out there to your local futsal hall, or your even if you just do it for half an hour before and after the game, you'll probably get 50 people. It's amazing how easy it is. People are really supportive. We're going to be in the malls, Belconnen, Canberra Centre and Woden. We would be everywhere. We just need volunteers. So if anybody would like to get out there and help, please contact me through either the blog or the A-League website. And we're aiming for 20,000. We've got 2,500. We've got many more numbers coming in, which we haven't used as yet until I actually see the numbers.
And if you work in a big business or in a big office area and you know that you like football and you want some sheets, I'm sure that if you contact us via the web, we can send some out to you and you can get everybody in your business and all their family members to sign up as well. And we'll be quite happy to have that back off you.
Absolutely. And you can sign up. You can take the form off the website, www.a-league4canberra.com.au, and you just go to the supporters page in the forms there, download it. It's got the details on where to return it to, either by email or fax or post, or what else is there? Don't know.
That's about it, isn't
paper airplane, I suppose. I don't know. Okay, so so fantastic. So we think we get 20,000 people. One or two people have said we can't. Of course we can. Not a problem. So we've got until March to do that. I'm fully confident we'll get the 20,000, and it will send a massive message to the FFA. And it also starts to mean that people will connect in. You know, when you go out there as a volunteer and say, hey, can you sign up? It's that connection with the A-League. The volunteers are making the connection with the people in the community. And after all, that's what we need. We need to, you know, if we're going to have a team, there's no point having a team if people aren't going to go. We want this team to last and be sustainable forever.
And if the people are concerned, or the concern, you know, are a bit worried about speaking to people about this thing, all I can say is that when I went on Friday to the junior football, every single person was so supportive. As soon as you tell them what it's about, they'll be quite happy to sit there, sign away the forms and carry on. And once you get two or three, it's an easy process from there.
Yeah, and I think it's great. And I did the same at futsal for an hour and I got 100 people. And again, it's just about, people have heard about the A-League. They know about it now. They know about the Canberra A-League bid. So you're not going up there, in a sense, having to sell them the idea. They go, oh yeah, most people say it's a great idea, so go for it. So no, it's good, and it's a positive experience. I think everyone's found it positive. I would say 98% of people have signed up who have been approached.
And of course, they're not asking for any financial backing here or anything like that. All we're asking for is a name on a piece of paper.
So 20,000 people, we get them signed up for Canberra football. That would be fantastic. It'd be historic as well to show that support. Now we need to move on. We're going to talk Canberra United. Russ, we're going to talk to Grace Gill in just a moment, but give us your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, on the weekend it was an interesting match, one that Canberra would have been disappointed that they probably didn't win. I mean, a draw was probably a fair result at the end of the day. Both sides had chances. Lydia Williams made some great saves again. I mean, she showed where she's an international quality goalkeeper.
I think she's the best keeper in the league. I think she's taken over from Melissa Barbieri, and I reckon the Matildas, Thompson Marnie, seems to have played her in a couple of crucial games. I mean, I think one of her advantages is a lot of the times in women's football in the world, at the world level, height is still a problem. If there's a shot coming from outside, you know, top corner, it's a goal almost guaranteed. I mean, that's, you know, people might say I'm critical of women's football. I think that's a fair comment. I mean, I don't know what you think. But certainly Lydia's proved to me in Australia that she's been able to get those balls. I mean, she's had some superb shots raining on her and just under the bar, and she's fantastic.
I mean, I had a chat with her after the press conference on the weekend after the 1-1 draw, and she did jokingly say that everyone keeps trying to chip her. There's been a couple in recent weeks. Sharon Black from Adelaide United, Savet Uzunlar on the weekend tried to chip her from an angle. And, you know, she's agile, she's good in the air, and she palms it over the bar. And if anyone's listening that's trying to chip Lydia Williams, don't bother.
Don't bother. You can't.
It's not
going to
happen.
Yeah, that's right. OK, we're going to talk to Grace Gilt in just a moment.
There's a minute to go at McKellar Stadium. Canberra United lead Sydney FC 1-0. Coach Robbie Hooker urges his player forward. Lydia Williams throws the ball to captain Ellie Brush. Hasn't she been good today? Brush plays a delightful ball to Chapman. The Matilda star drives to the line, across to the near post, and Caitlin Munoz volleys home. It's 2-0. Canberra United have the points. What a goal! What a game!
And you can catch Russ Gibbs and the team call all the Canberra United home games live and exclusive on 2XX 98.3 FM or streamed across the world. Go to www.nearpost.blogspot.com and follow the links.
And we're joined now by Matilda star Grace Gill. Grace, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, how you going?
Not bad. Now, first of all, Grace, bad news, of course, for yourself. Can you just tell us you got injured on the weekend? Tell us how the injury is and what's the state of play?
Well, at the moment, it's looking like grade 2 ligament damage to my right ankle. But I had a few MRI scans done today, and I've got to wait about 3 or 4 weeks before I can hear anything further if it's any more to it.
Does that mean you're out for the season, Grace?
At the moment, it's looking like that. There's still the chance of finals, that I could be back in time for that, so that's what I'm going to work to at the moment.
How disappointing is it, Grace, after, you know, the first season, you've been having a stellar season. How disappointing was it for you?
Oh, well, devastated, to say the least. I'm really down about it. I was loving playing. I was having a really good time, and the team was coming together really well, so I'm really upset to have to drop out at this point.
Grace, it's Russ Gibbs here, and I was at the game on the weekend, and we saw you go down in a heap with no one near you. Can you explain to us what happened?
Well, it's a little bit blurry, but I think what happened was I went to take a touch on the ball, and then I think I passed it, and as I went to plant my foot back down, I think I just rolled it, and pretty badly by the looks of it.
Just to move away from the injury, Grace, and to give you some good news, we had an interview with Tommy Somani earlier, and he mentioned a couple of players who were standing out for him who aren't sort of current Matilda players. Sam Kerr was the name from Perth, standing out, and yourself, Grace, came up. So hopefully that gives you encouragement to get back on the park, and you know that you're making yourself known to Tom Somani, which is fantastic. It shows what a great season you've been having. You played midfield and defence. How have you been finding the two positions?
Yeah, well, I had to sit back in defence when Mafia got the red card, and it was a little bit different because I haven't played defence for quite a while, but I had people like Ellie Brush alongside me, and we play really well together, and she was talking a lot to me, and so I think I sat in pretty well there. It was different to go back because I kept finding myself wanting to run forward and get up a bit more, but we worked quite well together, I thought.
So, and just at this point of the season, Canberra United line fifth in the table, not managing to win games, certainly not really losing games. What's the mood in the team? We have 3 games to go. We've got a great chance of getting into the finals. But what is the mood there?
Well, we're still really hopeful because, like as you said, we recognise that we have been playing well enough to win games, and we keep saying, well, you know, we should have won that game, and we keep creating all sorts of opportunities and chances, and if we'd finished even half the chances we'd created, we'd be up in the top four, no doubt. So we're still really hopeful because we recognise that we are playing very well, and we're just hoping in these last 3 games that we can convert a few more of our chances.
I'm sure you can. We know you can. Now, just tell us, Grace, have you been surprised at the level of support? You know, there's another 800 people there on the weekend. Have you? How's it felt to to be part of this Canberra team with them? You know, I guess quite a strong profile in the Canberra media and the Canberra papers, and a good support out there. How have you felt about that?
Oh, it's been so good. I mean, I wouldn't say surprised after our first game when we got about 1,600 people, and after that we sort of set ourselves a pretty good benchmark, but it's been just fabulous. Like, the paper every week. There's stories, 2-3 stories, and yeah, radio and TV, and people just sort of coming up to you and beginning to recognise you. It's been awesome.
I think it's really set a benchmark. I mean, you can see, like, every year now, we were talking about it on the weekend, one of the a couple of weekends ago against Adelaide, it was pretty cold and there was 800 people, and but another 800 turned up on the weekend, and it seems to me that's probably going to be about our average crowd. But you can see sort of every year that, you know, people will be looking forward to Canberra United, the women's team, playing, and it's a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree completely, and I think if we definitely can convert a few more of those chances, we'll be getting a few more people back as well, and with a couple more home games to go, I think we'll be pushing 1,000 again and hopefully reaching capacity crowd at one point as well.
Grace, Tom Samani also said in his interview, as well as praising yourself, he also said that he was asked who was going to win the W League this year, and of course he mentioned the Queens and Roar, but he said, as a dark horse, he said if Canberra United get into the four, then they have a very good chance of winning the tournament. Do you agree with this?
Well, I do agree completely, because you look at it and you see Queensland first, Melbourne second. They're the two teams we've beaten. So yeah, we're definitely up there, and I think any team in this competition is beatable. We just need to get ourselves into that top four position and then do the hard work.
Sorry, Grace. Just to give people an idea of what happened. So Sunday, Saturday you have your game. What's the general plan for the week? You know, how many times do the players have to train, that sort of thing?
Well, we're training 4 to 5 times a week. We have one day of complete rest where we've been strictly told not to do anything and just to take it easy and not touch a soccer ball. We attend gym sessions a couple of times a week.
But so that's on top of your training, is it? Like, when you say training, you mean outdoor training?
And then
gym sessions on top of that?
Yeah, that's right. We do 4 field sessions a week and 2 gym sessions a week. So it's pretty full on and takes up a lot of time. But we all really love it, and we all really love each other's company. So it's not like it's a chore at all.
That's just as well. Obviously, you've all got jobs and stings. How much of a sacrifice is it for the team to maintain that sort of level of commitment and to achieve the standard of play? I mean, given that presumably there's study for people, there's jobs, and of course there's players flying in from all over the place.
Well, exactly, and I think the biggest toll it takes is really on your social life, and you do learn to start making sacrifices, and I've got a fairly good group of friends who are very understanding and supportive, and I think a lot of the girls do as well. A few of us work full-time, but also maintain just casual jobs, and there's not much spare time at the end of the week after it all.
And it's a short season, so I guess given the commitment and given there's not a lot of money floating around, is that a good thing that it's a relatively short season so you can put in the effort and then, you know, sort of get back to normal, as it were?
Well, I think it's a good start for the W League, having a short season and just sort of testing the waters with it all. And I think in the future it'll probably be a bit extended. But at the moment, the 10-week thing is a really good way to test it out. And as it seems, it's going really well.
And there's Tom Samani was also mentioning that there's a league, professional league, starting in Thailand, Korea and Japan. I think Japan are already up and running. So there's a chance, not next year, but the year after, that there'll be an Asian Champions League, which is an absolutely exciting development. Imagine Canberra United flying off to Japan or Thailand or Korea.
Well, yeah, we'd love to be involved in something like that, and the W League is a perfect perfect place to start and really create a good foundation to work towards those sort of competitions.
I can hear the players out in the background. I assume that's the players running around, is it?
Yeah, we're just at training at the moment. We've got a bit of a practice match going on behind me.
Okay, so what do we do at a practice match? Is it just a game, or has Robbie given you some particular tactics? Does he set the other team up as a sample?
It's just a game at the moment. We're playing a younger boys' side, so they give us a good run around the park, and they're definitely fast and keeps us working hard.
Okay, and so what's the plan now for you, Grace? Were you you won't be able to go to the game, I presume, on the weekend? You'll be working on your rehab, will you?
Well, I'll probably drive up to Sydney because it's not too far away, and just watch and support from the sidelines will be a bit harder than being able to play, but I definitely want to be there as much as I can and do physio and everything else.
Sure.
Every other second.
Yeah. And just to focus on the best part of the season for you so far, Grace, the best game that you've enjoyed playing this season for yourself?
Oh, good question. I'd probably say, just due to the fact that we came away with a win, Queensland was pretty incredible. We went in, you know, and everyone thought we weren't going to come away with a win, but when we did, it was just such a great feeling.
It was a good battle. I mean, your team were, it was great that it was on TV, so, you know, fans like myself could just sit there and put our feet up and go, oh, we've won.
Yeah, exactly.
It was great. But it looked like hard work, but, I mean, again, the team spirit. And that's one of the things about the Canberra United team, I think. There's a real spirit there that shines through.
Well, yeah, and you can see that in games like the Perth game, we were down 2-0 and we came back to win 2-2 and we just played an incredible second half. I mean, it was pretty exciting being involved in that as well.
Grace, you've played against pretty much all the teams that are in the league now. Which of the other players and the other teams have impressed you so far?
I think it's probably the players that are not so much expected to impress, if that makes sense. There's a lot of players, named players, who are, you know, expected to make a big impact and a lot of damage. But when it comes down to it, it's the players that you don't expect to cause any damage, and they seem to do the most.
Any one, if you were to name one or two players who stood out, Grace, for you, like they've caught your eye as they've perhaps, you know, done their tricks, whatever they do. Anybody stand out for you?
Someone I've noticed is playing really well is Alicia Clifford in the New South Wales team. She's a bit of a younger girl, but she's been performing consistently, and she's not in the senior Matilda squad yet, but she's just been doing really well and holding her own ground.
And I think that's one of the interesting things. The senior Matilda squad really is in a massive time of change, or that's what it seems to me. And I think that this W League has come at the right time, in the sense that a lot of the players after the last World Cup are kind of either, you know, like Shel Salisbury, etc., Dijeljic are probably on the verge of retiring. So a lot of places are going to be up for grabs for the next World Cup, do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Like you said, a few players are getting on a bit, and it's a really good pathway for younger players like myself and people younger than me to be able to step up and play well and get noticed by Tom and hopefully get a gig at one of the Matilda's camps or promising Matilda's camps.
Well, you've been noticed, Grace, so it's great to see you. And I know things are probably not so good for you this week, mentally after the injury. But you've been noticed by Tom Samani. That should spur you on to get back on the field and show us your stuff again. We've enjoyed watching you play and we wish you all the best.
Oh, thanks very much.
OK, and good luck this weekend, Grace.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Bye-bye. That was Grace Gill. Canberra United's Grace Gill from the training grounds with the players running around in the background. Russ?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many players will be there running around in the background at the moment. There'll be their squad's stretched a bit thin at the moment.
I'm fascinated by Rhian Davis, I think just because I'm into frequent flyers. But I mean, she flies down from the north, the north of Darwin up there in the Northern Territory. And it's just phenomenal flight, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, she's unavailable this weekend due to work commitments, but she wouldn't have been able to play anyway because she tore her right quad muscle in Saturday's draw.
Any other injuries?
Well, Amy Chapman came out of the match with a glute strain. Thea Slatia bruised her right rib cage. Lydia Williams had a mild roll of the left ankle, and Caitlin Munoz took a knock on her heavily strapped knee.
So they're all fit to play then?
Chartered, I mean, the good news is that they should all be past fit this week, but some of them are in light training and might not be involved in that match that's going on behind
Grace.
I
can't see Robbie Hooker letting them away with a whinge. He'd be saying, right, get on the field, we need the point. So they'll be right, I'm sure. They're a tough lot. I mean, Lydia went to the World Cup with a broken arm, so... You know, a bit of a dodgy thigh is not going to matter, is it?
I shouldn't think so. And while we're speaking about the Canberra United match, it'd be remiss of us not to mention Caitlin Munoz's goal, which was incredible.
What a goal. Fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah, if nobody's seen it, I'd get the opportunity to go onto YouTube or wherever and download it and have a look, because it is a great strike.
Cracker. She scored some crackers at the time. I remember one in the Asian Cup, I think, semi-final against... I think it was against China, or maybe in the final against China. Absolute cracker of a goal, belter, not dissimilar to the one on the weekend. But just before we move on, any more on United? They're going to win this weekend?
I think they will this weekend. I mean, Central Coast are a decent side. They score some goals, as we know, on the weekend. They give Adelaide a bit of a pasting.
There's a bus going up from...
There is.
Capital Football, Canberra United, whatever you want to call it. So get onto the website, www.capitalfootball.com.au, and if you want to go and join the bus and support the team.
And it's a doubleheader. Sydney FC are playing Perth before that match as well, so you get two matches for the price of one.
And I just say you feel that the football's coming through the airwaves. I've got my shirt on, Capital Punishment, and on the back it says I support Canberra United. It's green and I've been wearing it around town with pride. It's great to wear a Canberra football shirt in town.
Yeah, I mean, they look good as well. They're striking shirts. I mean, you can see them at the games. You can pick them up at the games if anybody, the next home match on the 20th of December against Melbourne Victory.
When you say they look good, you mean they look good on me?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, the actual style looks good. I mean, it's a decent shirt.
Even I can't ruin the shirt. I like it.
Exactly. It's good
wear
work.
It more often.
You're only wearing it because it's a Celtic green.
I've painted me white hoops. Don't tell anybody.
Hello, I'm Laurie McKenna from the Central Coast Mariners. You're listening to The Near Post on... 2XX 98.3 FM.
It's Laurie McKenna there. I reckon he'd be a good coach for Canberra A League.
He'd be a great coach for Canberra A League,
because you need someone. Not that no one's talking about the coaches, and we're just focusing on the money. But I'll keep thinking, and I won't have any say, so don't worry about that. But I just keep thinking, you need someone with a bit of personality.
Laurie likes Canberra as well, doesn't he? He's been here a couple of times with his team now, and we've chatted to him a few times, and he comes across as a person that likes the area and likes the people.
You need not just a good coach, but you also need someone, and people will decide whether he's a good coach or not, but you also need someone in the first couple of years who's actually got a bit of media savvy and able to reach out, and that's probably Laurie. And also, having said that, though, he probably won't want to leave the coast, but he is probably due a change, won't he?
Well, I think the only way he's going to leave the coast is if he walks away from it, because even if they lost 5 or 6 on the spin, they wouldn't get rid of him because he's got such great charisma. I mean, he's a good man manager, keeps his players happy, manages to keep a squad that's got 4 or 5 strikers in there happy. I mean, Nick Merge has not had a run this season. We mentioned the coast earlier on, and he's managing to keep him happy at the moment. So he must be doing something right. And yeah, it'd be great to see him down here.
Now, I want to mention Canberra FC, 50 years of football, the premier football club in Canberra in terms of longevity and also the players produced. I went to the Canberra FC evening and it was a fantastic night. Andy Pascalidis was there. He renamed himself, Andy Pascalinovic or, you know, some sort of Croatian take. Andy Pascalidis is quite a funny man. He kind of got stuck into every ethnic group going, including the Australians. So that went down really well. The Croatian ambassador was there. Bernie Lustica organised a fantastic night. And when you went into the room, you know, Ned Zelic shirts up there, Ivan Grucic, Nairo Spalletta, Joe Simonic, the shirts are all there around the room. Just shows you. And a real special moment for me was when the 5 men who got together in the Burns Club in Forest at the time, 50 years ago, stood up and around the room. And I mean, there were 5 obviously older Croatian Canberrans, and to think that, you know, they got together with pride to start this football team. And when you see some of the players they produced, the strength of the club over the years, you know, it's just a great thing. And I mean, obviously, you know, sometimes we don't always respect our elders, but just to see what they've done and the fact that they were there on the night. Ned Zelic's dad was there, you know, Joe Simonic's brother, Steve Dospart. There was a whole heap of people across the community. Zed Sasoldier was there. It was a great night, and it was just fantastic. And some of the old players, Tony Lemazina from the Cosmos days, he was still talking a good game.
Stan, he's still Dukic, banging them in at the lower level.
Stan Dukic, I think probably everyone who's played against Stan has been beaten about 10-0 by Stan's performances, you know. So it was great, and there was young kids there signing up for the Canberra A-League. We got over 200 signatures, but it was brilliant. There was Croatian dancing from the Croatian dance group, and just a wonderful night. And I couldn't stay for it all, but apparently once I left, there was a couple of other guys, Willie Murray, I think, and a couple of other guys that came on the stage and apparently entertained the crowd. So great night and a great club.
They've got a great story. I mean, I was fortunate enough when I first came over here to be handed a copy of their book that Bernie wrote, From Hope to Glory, I believe it's called, and it details, it chronicles the history of Canberra Glory, as they were Canberra Hope, I think they were, and then Canberra Deakin, and now they're Canberra FC and Croatia Deakin and whatever their guises were, through press clippings and stuff. And it's a good read, and you know, they're obviously very proud of their club and very proud of their heritage, and so they should be. It's a good club and they've got some great players.
They are, but I mean, the room is decked out fantastically in obviously Croatian colours, but there's a lot of Australian colours. You know, they're really proud of the boys that played for Australia, and I think I think times have changed, and that Bernie mentioned from his speech that they're very much proud of the Croatian community heritage, and rightly so, but they're also proud of their Australian heritage as well. And it's great that they're able to continue to celebrate, because one of the things in the National Soccer League, we've often removed that ethnic element, but I think we need to value our cultures and our heritage.
Any club throughout the world worth its salt values its heritage and where it came from. I mean, if you go to the UK, speaking from personal experience, you can go to any of the major clubs and they're very proud of where they came from, of what it generally was, a couple of guys sitting in a room like it was with Canberra FC going, yeah, let's have a team together, let's put it together. And you know, it's great to see that they've got these people and they invited them and they recognised that their role in making the club what it is today.
They did. Yuri Plugovic, James Modric and Bernie Lustica, I think they were the committee, got together. Over 400 people there, all ages. It was a brilliant night. And that's
and
all from
encourage
us.
Other clubs to do it if they get the opportunity.
That's right. Well, Woden Valley, I think they had their 25th this year, so the same sort of thing. And it's good to see that football's developing now. Wherever you are across this great land, if you're going out this weekend to play or watch, what you need to do is get to the near post, and when you get there,
Get there first.
Well, stick one in the back of the net. And
well, that'd
do
be
that.
Ideal.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
If you got there first, and then, you know, then no point getting there before the ball.
And then just go off and do a celebration. Good night.
Yeah, don't.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. the near post. Get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.